Hades isn't going to get me in trouble. I knew she was back and advised him to tell you. What he chose to do or not isn't my fault.
Tell me about her, Persephone said. Hecate froze, her mug halfway to the lips. Finally, she took a sip before asking,
What do you want to know?
Did Hades love her?
Not like he loves you, she said without hesitation.
Don't try to make me feel better, Hecate.
Truly, I am not. Or at least, I wouldn't say something that isn't true. Hades cared for her, yes. I think he believed he loved her. I also think he knows differently now.
I was completely blindsided.
As I am sure your mother hoped you would be.
My mother? Persephone hadn't heard or spoken to Demeter since she'd destroyed her greenhouse, and she had to admit she didn't really miss her.
Oh, yes, this reeks of Demeter, Hecate said, wrinkling her nose. Who else has the power to turn a tree back into a nymph?
Hades, she wanted to point out, but knew that the god hadn't been the one to restore Laoce to her natural form. Why would my mother do Hades' lover a favor? Hecate laughed.
You didn't think you'd get the last word in, did you? Demeter attempted to defy the fates to keep you from Hades. She will try anything to pry you away from him. You know that.
Persephone was quiet. She hadn't even considered that her mother might be involved in this. But now that Hecate had said something, she couldn't believe it hadn't been her first thought. After a moment, she put her head in her hands. I don't understand why he didn't tell me.
The first rule of men, Persephone, is that they're all idiots.
She started to protest, but Hecate interrupted her.
And don't start thinking that just because Hades is ancient and wise in other matters of life means he's above idiocy. He's not. Trust me, I have existed alongside him to see it all.
He is an idiot, she agreed. But so am I. Hecate's eyes softened.
You are.
The two shared a laugh. Are you going to turn me into a polecat? Persephone asked. And though she meant it as a joke, she felt tears prick her eyes. The goddess smiled.
No, dear, I already have one.
Persephone wiped at her face fiercely. Oh, Hecate, what do I do? I hurt Hades. I didn't think at all. I was so
hurt, Hecate said. Hades hurt you, too. You hurt each other. The answer is simple. You apologize.
It doesn't seem like enough.
It is enough. It's enough because you love each other.
Persephone took a breath. Apologize. She could do that. Okay, she said, standing. Where is he? Hecate rose from her seat.
Just wait a little longer. You'll want him angry for when Apollo arrives. Now, let's channel some of this pain into a lesson.
The two made their way to one of Hades' many orchards. She was still learning the underworld and its vast landscape, but one of the things she'd discovered is that Hades had a network of vegetation. Grapes, olives, figs, dates, and pomegranates. The goddess of magic chose a clearing where a particularly large pomegranate tree had grown. Its emerald leaves contrasted darkly with the crimson fruit hanging heavy from its branches. For a moment, Persephone was enchanted by the clearing. And then came the bees. Where the hell did these come from? Persephone asked, dodging another winged demon as it charged for her face. These were not nice bees.
I summoned them, Hecate said cheerily.
You... what?
Using magic under stressful situations is a valuable skill, Persephone.
Don't you think I am under enough stress?
In your mind, she answered.
Good practitioners of magic must learn to work under both mental and physical stress.
Not today, she wanted to say. Well, I am not a good practitioner of magic.
If you keep saying that, it will become the truth.
It is the truth. You're the only one who can't see it. Even Hades knows. He's only been letting me think I am powerful enough to use magic against him.
Hecate's brows came together. What do you mean?
She told her what happened last night with the thorns. It was effortless for him.
My love, you must remember that Hades is in his realm. Here he is all-powerful.
That didn't help, because all the time she'd used her magic with him, she'd been here in the underworld. She wasn't sure why it bothered her so much. She guessed because she had used that as a measure of improvement. And just as easily as he'd used his magic to turn hers into ash, he'd taken her fragile confidence with it.
Hecate sighed. Perhaps I have overstepped. I am sorry for the bees.
Once Hecate dismissed the bees, they focused on practice.
Remember what I told you,
the goddess said, positioning her in front of the pomegranate tree.
Magic is malleable.
Persephone did remember. They were words Hecate had spoken shortly after she started to feel life in the plants, flowers, and trees around her. Practicing magic with Hecate was nothing like practicing on her own. The goddess was dedicated to the craft and meticulous in her instruction. Persephone was told to ripen the pomegranates on the tree in the middle of the grove. They weighted down branches of the tree. Their skin was a greenish-yellow, bruising with a crimson-red. It meant that she was going to have to demonstrate control in gathering and channeling her power. Hecate's words rose to the surface of her mind as she called up her magic.
Imagine it as clay. Mold it into what you desire, and then give it life.
It was easier said than done. Persephone felt the heat of magic pulse through her veins. It pooled into her palms like water warmed beneath the sun. And as she closed her eyes, she imagined herself manipulating the glamour into a ripe red pomegranate.
Perfect, she heard Hecate say encouragingly.
Persephone took a deep breath and opened her eyes. She couldn't see the magic she held in her hands, but she could feel it. It was energy, and it charged the air surrounding her, raising the hair on her arms and the back of her neck.
Now, direct the magic at your target.
Persephone did as Hecate instructed, pushing her hands out as the magic pulsed from her palms, leaving them covered in a cold sweat. The magic reached the tree, and the pomegranates began to swell and darken. Yes! Persephone jumped, excited by her success. But the fruit kept growing, and growing, and growing. Oh, no.
Take cover!
Hecate grabbed Persephone's hand and dragged her behind a nearby tree. A second later, she heard a loud pop as several pomegranates exploded. Persephone didn't want to look, but she peered around the tree anyway. The whole grove was covered in red. It looked like a bloodbath. Her shoulders sagged with defeat.
You just used too much power, Hecate said.
I think that's more than obvious, Hecate, Persephone snapped, frustrated with herself. The goddess of witchcraft didn't seem fazed by Persephone's outburst and just smiled.
Do not see this as defeat, my dear. It's only through a failure to control your power that we will learn how strong you truly are.
But Persephone didn't feel powerful, and she said as much. I can grow plants and kill them. To gods, those are parlor tricks.
Right now, Hecate agreed. But that does not mean other powers won't manifest.
Persephone pursed her lips. She thought about how she'd been sensing emotions off and on since Sybil had come to her apartment.
My dear, there's darkness inside of you, and we have only touched the surface.
A shiver slithered up her spine. It wasn't the first time she'd heard those words.
Let me coax the darkness from you. I will help you shape it.
They were words Hades had spoken against her skin right before he explored her body for the first time, inside and out. She hadn't known what he meant then. She didn't know what Hecate meant now, and she decided she didn't want to ask. "Can you fix this mess?" Persephone asked Hecate. Thick pulp dripped from tree limbs onto the flowers below. It looked like a battlefield.
"I could," Hecate said. "But then I wouldn't have a lesson for later."
"You want me to fix this?" Persephone knew she didn't have to, but she threw her arms out, gesturing to the disaster in front of them. "What makes you think I can mend this when I couldn't stop it from happening?"
"If I thought you could do it on your own, it wouldn't be a lesson," the goddess replied.
Persephone seethed. One day she would turn her mother into a carrion flower for keeping her magic from manifesting.
"Do not worry, my love. You will learn your power as you learn yourself," Hecate promised.
The two made their way back to the palace. For a while they were able to stay away from the topic of Hades and Apollo, mostly because Hecate used the walk as a teaching moment after they'd happened upon a grove of hemlock.
"At some point I will instruct you in the art of poison," Hecate said. "It's a useful skill for any lady to possess."
Persephone gave Hecate an uncertain look. "I don't think poisoning is a useful skill, Hecate."
"It is when you must kill discreetly."
"And when do you need to kill discreetly?" She shrugged.
"There are all sorts of instances. Abusers of women and children, sex traffickers, rapists, the list goes on."
Huh. Perhaps Hecate was on to something. They walked along in silence for a little while, Persephone contemplating the usefulness of poison against one god in particular, when she asked, "What does Hades have against Apollo?" She knew why she disliked him, of course, but Hades' fury seemed to surpass her own. She added, "And don't tell me to ask him." Hecate offered a small smile.
"It's what all gods have against each other, I suppose. The knowledge of their history and deeds."
Hecate paused and faced Persephone.
"Hades isn't trying to be difficult. He fears for you. Apollo, his vengeance is cruel."
"I know."
"You don't,"
Hecate argued, and Persephone was a little surprised by her tone.
"In antiquity, he and his sister murdered 14 children. The children themselves were innocents. It was their mother, Niobe, who had offended them after she claimed to be superior to the god's own mother, Leto."
14 children? How was the world not appalled by these two gods?
"Needless to say, Apollo is unpredictable, and rather than take a chance, Hades has brought you here to the underworld, his realm, where any action Apollo takes will be considered making war upon the god of the dead. Apollo might be rash, but he isn't stupid. He does not want Hades as an enemy."
Despite feeling a new kind of terror, Persephone was glad she asked. They returned to the palace, where they had dinner and discussed the finer details of the summer solstice celebration.
"I have commissioned a new crown," Hecate said, just as Persephone was about to take a drink from her wine. She spit it back into the cup.
"I'm sorry, what?"
"Ian is very excited."
Persephone glared. Of course she'd bring Ian into this. The Solo was a master blacksmith. Before he died, he'd made armor and weapons and was favored by Artemis. It was that favor that got him killed. The soul now used his skill in the underworld to craft beautiful, intricate things, lampposts and gates, and the occasional crown.
"I don't need another crown, Hecate. The one Ian made for me is very beautiful. I can wear it to the solstice celebration."
She didn't say what she was really thinking. A crown was presumptuous. Hades wasn't speaking to her right now. How could she be sure he still wanted her as his queen?
"You could," But why would you when you'll have a new one?
Persephone sighed. I wish you'd have asked me.
I'd really rather not, she said. Now, about the dress, I was thinking black.
Hecate continued explaining her vision for what she called Persephone's grand ensemble. The goddess only half listened, her mind wandering to the story of Apollo, his sister, and Hades. During her research of the god of music, she hadn't considered checking into other stories from his past. The god's offenses were indeed endless and violent, and she found herself wondering if even Hades could prevent his retaliation. After dinner, Persephone found herself alone in her suite again. She started to curse Hades for building it. Who puts their wife in a whole other part of their palace? It was so antiquated. You aren't his wife, she corrected herself. You are his girlfriend. Maybe. She couldn't be sure. She hadn't seen Hades since he'd watched her from the balcony last night. She had attempted to go in search of him earlier and hadn't found him anywhere in the palace. She assumed that must mean he was at Nevernight or dealing with Laoce. Her mood darkened further, and she found herself outside again, exploring the underworld in the fading light. Her frustration caused the surrounding flowers to bloom and the grass to grow taller. She hated it. She was literally leaving a path for anyone to follow. She traveled far, over rocky hills and mossy valleys, until she found herself on the edge of a cliff, face to face with a gray ocean. The wind whipped her hair, cooling her heated face. Her insides were still raging. She felt so angry. Angry with Apollo and with Hades and being stuck in that god's forsaken suite. Was this his form of punishment? Leaving her in the underworld and avoiding her at all costs? He didn't seem at all sorry for his part in this. She decided she needed to calm down when a rose sprouted from her arm. The bud was painful as it grew, and when she pulled it free, she screamed from the burn, and blood poured from the wound. This is torture, she thought. She tore off a piece of her gown and wrapped it around her arm as tight as she could before settling on the ground. First, she focused on the sound of the sea rushing the shore below, the feel of the wind against her face, the smell of ash and salt in the air. Then she closed her eyes and breathed deep, filling her lungs with the same smells, with the same wind, with the same sounds, until she felt like she was in the ocean herself, rocking back and forth, cradled in warm waves. The anger and tension and pain broke apart. For the first time today, she felt calm, collected, clear-headed. When she opened her eyes, it was dark, and she knew she should head back to the palace before anyone started worrying. But as she got up to leave, she found the path her magic had created was gone. Still, she thought she could manage on her own, and started in the direction she thought she'd come. She walked for a while before she realized she was lost. Exhausted and unable to teleport, she found a spot beneath a tree and sat, sliding to the ground, where she fell asleep. She was roused by Hades' warmth. His scent filled her nose as he cradled her close to his chest. She knew when they teleported because the air changed. If she wasn't so exhausted, so groggy, she would have opened her eyes to see his expression. In fact, she wanted to open her eyes because her heart needed to see how he was looking at her, but she found she couldn't. She was so damn tired. Why was she so tired? Hades held her close for a long time before shifting and settled her in a heap of blankets. He pressed a kiss to her forehead, and warmth seeped into her skin. She remembered nothing else. Chapter 10, God of Music. When Persephone opened her eyes, the first thing she noticed were black silk sheets. She caressed them, brows knitting together. How had she gotten in Hades' room? She rolled over, thinking she might find him beside her, but the bed was empty. Then she heard the clink of a glass, and her eyes shifted to Hades' bar. Hermes was standing in front of it, and he had frozen at the sound, looking to see if he'd woken her. "Hermes?" she asked. The god of trickery turned fully, holding a decanter of amber liquid and a glass.
"Sorry, Seffi, I needed a drink."
"What are you doing here?" she asked, sitting up in bed.
"What am I doing here? What were you doing last night?"
Persephone's brows drew together. "What do you mean?" Hermes cocked his head to the side.
"You really don't remember?"
"I went for a walk," she said and shrugged.
"That was some walk," Hermes scoffed. "Hades freaked the fuck out. He couldn't find you or sense you anywhere. I've never seen him so...
angry."
Hermes looked at her like she was crazy. "No, distraught. This is the underworld. His territory. He thought something bad had happened. He summoned every deity in the underworld to look for you. And me."
"I just got lost. I wanted to clear my head. I meditated for a little while, like Hecate told me to. And when I finished, it was dark. I couldn't find my way back. I didn't mean to make anyone worry. I just wanted to be alone."
"Well, enjoy that, because I don't think Hades will let you out of his sight for the foreseeable future."
She raised a brow. "You mean like now?"
"I'm babysitting," he said almost proudly.
And Persephone rolled her eyes. "And why are you babysitting?"
"Because Apollo's here."
Persephone froze, and Hermes' face drained of color as the god realized his mistake. "What?"
"Did I say Apollo was here? I meant that he's on his way. He's most definitely not here. Hades is not meeting with Apollo in the throne room without you." "Fuck."
Persephone was already out of bed.
"Persephone!" Hermes called as she left the room. "Seffi, get back here! No one will take you seriously with that hair!"
She ignored him, taking off toward the throne room, her feet slipping on the marble as she went. She burst inside, where she found Hades and Apollo standing opposite each other. They really were quite the pair, shadow and light meeting on a marble battlefield. Apollo was beautiful in his mortal form. He was boyish and athletic and smaller than Hades. He had a crown of dark curls, a square jaw, and dimples that added to what might be youthful charm if he didn't appear so angry. Hades, on the other hand, was raw, primal masculinity. He towered over Hermes, his hair a halo of darkness. There was a maturity to Hades' features that had nothing to do with his well-manicured beard or tailored suit. It was in his eyes, black, endless eyes that had seen lifetimes of strife. When she entered, the two gods turned to her.
"So, the mortal has come to play,"
Apollo remarked. Hades glared over Persephone's shoulder at Hermes, who had followed her. The god held up his hands to stave off Hades' anger.
"What? She guessed!"
Hades turned back to Apollo.
"The deal is done. You will not touch her."
"What deal?" Persephone demanded. The two gods looked at her again. Apollo amused, Hades angry, but she didn't care. While she understood Hades wanted to keep her safe from Apollo, he couldn't just exclude her from this conversation. She had started it, she had things to say, and Apollo would hear her out.
"Your lover has struck a deal," Apollo said.
The way he said lover slithered across her skin in all the wrong ways. It made her dislike it more, but maybe that was because she felt there was a certain amount of disrespect associated with it, that she was fleeting, temporary. She felt that way now, with this meeting having gone on without her.
"I have agreed not to punish you for your slanderous article, and in turn Hades has offered me a favor, to be collected at a future time."
Hermes whistled. "Damn.
He really does love you, Seffi."
They all glared at Hermes. Hades offering Apollo a favor was huge. The god could literally ask for anything, and Hades would have to grant it. A knot settled in the pit of her stomach, but it wasn't guilt. It was dread. Why would Hades offer something so precious without telling her first? Because he thought it was the only way to protect you, she thought, and you wouldn't have let him do it.
I will not agree to this, Persephone said.
You don't have a choice, mortal.
Persephone's eyes burned, and she felt Hades' magic rising to subdue her own, for which she was thankful. If Apollo knew she was a goddess, he would have leverage against her, and the god would use it, given his vengeful past.
I'm the one who wrote the article, she said. Your deal should be with me.
Persephone.
Her name slipped from between Hades' teeth, and Apollo threw his head back, laughing.
What could you possibly offer me?
Persephone's fists curled, her nails digging into her palms. You hurt my friend, she hissed.
Whatever your friend did must have warranted punishment, or she would not be in the situation she is in.
It enraged her that he didn't even seem to know which friend he'd hurt.
You mean to tell me her refusal to be your lover warrants punishment?
Apollo froze, though his expression remained passive. Persephone continued.
You took away her livelihood because she declined to sleep with you. That is insane and pathetic.
Persephone,
Hades warned. You be quiet, she snapped. She never thought she'd get tired of hearing her name on Hades' lips, but right now she wanted him to shut up.
You chose not to include me in this conversation. I will speak my mind.
The god's lips thinned, and his eyes burned. She could feel the frustration brewing under his skin. It made her own tingle. Hermes was laughing. She ignored him and turned toward Apollo.
I only wrote about your past lovers. I didn't even touch on what you have done to Sybil. If you don't undo her punishment, I will dismantle you.
There was silence, and Apollo chuckled, narrowing his eyes.
You are a fiery little mortal. I could use someone like you. Speak further, nephew, and you will have no reason to fear her threat because I will tear you to pieces.
Apollo offered Hades an unsavory glance, his eyes returning to Persephone quickly, who prompted,
Well?
Apollo stared at her for a long moment, and with a small smile on his lips that made her stomach knot, he said,
Fine. I will return your little friend's powers, and I'll take Hades' favor as well. But you will not write another word about me, no matter what. Understand?
Persephone lifted her chin.
Words are binding, and I do not trust you enough to agree.
Apollo chuckled.
You have taught her well, Hades.
The god of music dared take a step toward her. She sensed both Hades and Hermes straighten. The tension was so thick, Persephone couldn't breathe. Apollo bent, his face close to hers, and despite his eyes being the most beautiful shade of blue she'd ever seen, there was something sinister behind them. It made her want to vomit.
Let me put it this way. You write another word about me, and I'll destroy everything you love. And before you consider the fact that you love another god, remember that I have his favor. If I want to keep you apart forever, I can.
That sent a chill of fear down Persephone's spine. She glanced at Hades, wondering if the threat was real. Her lover's expression told her it was. Noted, she said from between her teeth. The god straightened.
I will warn you now, Apollo.
Hades' voice was reverent.
If any harm comes to Persephone, favor or not, I will bury you and everything you love in ash.
Apollo offered a cold smile.
You'll only have me to bury, Hades. Nothing I love exists anymore.
Apollo left, vanishing in a blinding ray of light. The throne room was silent, and Persephone found that she was hesitant to face Hades. She had ruined his plans and deliberately disobeyed him in front of another god.
Well, that could have gone better,
Hermes said, clearly amused. Persephone cringed at his tone, knowing Hades wouldn't be pleased.
Why are you still here?
Hades asked through gritted teeth. He was babysitting me, Persephone snapped, glaring at him. Or did you forget? He might be angry about how all of this played out, but she blamed him for that. He'd spent the last few days ignoring her instead of talking through the conversation with Apollo. And didn't he always insist that they talk? How could he think she wouldn't want to fight for her friend if given the chance? How can you say you wish for me to be your queen when, given the opportunity to treat me as your equal, you fuck it up completely? Does your word mean nothing? Hades' eyes widened, surprised by her words. It was the blow she wanted to land. She turned from him, looped her arm through Hermes, and strolled out of the throne room.
That took some real lady balls, Seffy, Hermes said.
The goddess frowned. It might have taken balls, but it didn't make her feel any better. At this rate, we'll never reconcile, she said, frowning.
Oh, I really doubt that, Hermes said. I don't think Hades is willing to go that long without fucking you.
Persephone glared at the god. Not everything is about sex, Hermes.
Yes, it is. I'm not saying that to be vulgar.
He paused and chuckled a little.
Well, kinda. What I'm really trying to say is Hades loves you. You didn't see him last night.
I did.
He won't go long without talking to you. He's too afraid he'll lose you.
She hoped Hermes was right. Despite her final words to Hades, she hadn't wanted to leave his presence, and doing so made her heart hurt. Hermes stayed for most of the afternoon and joined her and Hecate for a picnic in Asphodel. The gods played with Cerberus, Typhon, and Orthrus and chatted with the souls. When they were finished, Persephone found solace alone in the grove Hades had gifted her. She marveled at his work. Here in her forest, the ground was covered in a sea of purple and white flowers. The canopy overhead, a harbor of silver leaves so thick, none of Hades' strange daylight filtered inside. It was beautiful and ethereal. And it was all an illusion. She had witnessed Hades lift his magic from the underworld, revealing desolate and deserted land. The sight had shocked her, but left her in awe of his skills. How was he able to wield magic like thread, weaving ash and smoke and fire into sweet scents, vibrant colors, and gorgeous landscape? She found a spot in her grove with periwinkle and white phlox and sat near a withered patch of ground. She took a breath, closed her eyes, and meditated. She focused on her breath like Hecate had directed, and then the flow of her blood in her body, and then the flow of power in her veins, and the press of life against her skin. She tried to imagine the bald patch in front of her teeming with life, but when she opened her eyes, there was nothing. Her shoulders fell, and she felt the weight of her failure heavy on her back. Hades' scent stirred the air, and suddenly he was around her, his chest to her back, his arms against hers, his legs cradling her body. His warmth was like the darkness, dense and lulling. She wanted it to consume her.
You are practicing your magic?
He asked. More like failing, she answered. He laughed as he exhaled.
You aren't failing. You have so much power.
His voice made her shiver, and she wanted to believe him. She wanted to believe anything he said in that sensuous voice. Then why can't I use it?
You are using it,
he answered. Not correctly.
Is there a correct way to use your magic?
Persephone didn't answer. Not because she didn't have one, but because she was frustrated with Hades' question. Of course there was a correct way to use magic. The god chuckled, and his fingers clasped her wrists lightly.
You use your magic all the time. When you are angry, when you are aroused.
Hades' lips were a breath away from her skin. She wanted desperately to turn and kiss him, but she resisted. That's not magic, she answered quietly.
Then what is magic?
He asked. Magic is... She searched for words on a shuddering breath. Control.
Hades chuckled.
Magic is not controlled. It is passionate, expressive. It reacts to emotions, no matter your level of expertise.
His hands shifted, cupping her own. Persephone swallowed.
Close your eyes, he whispered.
She did.
Tell me what you feel.
Aroused, she thought. I feel warm, she said instead. She knew Hades was amused by the tone of his voice.
Focus on it,
he said.
Where does it start?
Low, she answered, and shivered despite the heat. In my stomach.
Feed it,
he breathed. She did, with thoughts of pushing him into the flowers and pleasuring him. He would be surprised at first, but his eyes would take on that dark smolder, and he would attempt to take control. Except that she wouldn't let him. She would take him into her mouth until he bucked against her, and then lick the cum from his cock. When he kissed her, he would taste himself. Those thoughts filled her with fire, and Hades demanded,
Now, where are you warm?
Everywhere, she answered.
Imagine all that warmth in your hands,
he spoke faster.
Imagine it glowing. Imagine it so bright you can barely look at it.
She did as he instructed, focusing intently on the heat rushing to her hands. It was easier because she could feel the weight of Hades on hers. They grounded her.
Now imagine the light has dimmed, and in the shadow you see the life you have created.
Hades' lips touched her ear as he whispered,
Open your eyes, Persephone.
When she did, a shimmering white image of the periwinkle and phlox she had envisioned manifested between her hands. It was beautiful. Hades guided her hands to the barren earth, and as the magic touched the ground, it transformed into flowers. Persephone touched one of the silky petals, just to be sure it was real.
Magic is balance. A little control, a little passion. It is the way of the world.
She tilted her head toward him, but could not see him fully. His beard scraped her cheek. The silence stretched between them, and every bit of her skin felt like an exposed nerve. Finally, she twisted, coming to her knees. His eyes were fierce, and his nostrils flared.
I love you. I should have reminded you when I brought you here, and each day since,
Hades said.
Please forgive me.
Tears burned the back of her eyes. I forgive you. But only if you'll forgive me. I was angry about Leuki, but angrier that you left me that evening to go to her, she said. The words hurt, like she couldn't take in enough air to speak them. And I feel so ridiculous. I know your reasons, and I know you didn't want to leave me that evening, but I can't help how I feel about it. When I think about it, I feel hurt. Maybe it had something to do with all the emotion she had invested in that moment in the dining room. It was all so intense, and the aftermath left her feeling unfulfilled, neglected.
It pains me to know I hurt you. What can I do?
She was surprised by that question. I don't know. I suppose what I have done must make up for it. I told you I wouldn't write about Apollo. I promised you, and broke that promise. Hades shook his head.
We do not make up for hurt with hurt, Persephone. That is a god's game. We are lovers.
Then how do we make up for hurt? She asked.
With time,
he answered.
If we can be comfortable being angry with one another for a little while.
Persephone frowned, and the tears she thought had all dried up came again as she whispered, I don't want to be angry with you.
Neither do I,
he said, reaching to brush the tears away.
But it doesn't change feelings, and it doesn't mean we can't care for each other while we heal.
Persephone stared at Hades and started to shake her head.
How is it that I was meant for you?
Hades' brows drew together.
We've discussed this.
He didn't sound angry, but she also knew this discussion had come up before and it hadn't gone all that well. So she explained.
I just feel so inexperienced. I am young and rash, and how could you want me?
She choked on the words and covered her mouth to smother the emotion.
Persephone,
Hades said gently, covering her hand with his.
First, I will always want you. Always. I failed you here, too. I was angry. I didn't take care of you. I didn't include you. Don't put me on a pedestal because you feel guilty for your decisions. Just forgive yourself so you can forgive me. Please.
She took a breath and bit her lip. Hades' eyes fell to her mouth. Everything inside her was suddenly on fire. He was right. He hadn't taken care of her, and that's what she'd craved. Despite their shared anger, she'd wanted him. His heat, his violence, his love. She closed the distance between them, straddling him as they sat on the ground beneath the silver trees. Hades' hands settled on her hips.
I'm sorry, she whispered.
Her gaze was level with his, and his dark eyes reached deep. She knew he could see clear to her soul.
I love you. You can trust me, my word.
Shh, my darling, he said.
His mouth was inches from hers. His hands trailed up her thighs and beneath her dress. Her stomach tightened with anticipation.
I will forever regret my anger. How could I ever question your love, your trust, your word, when you have my heart?
She kissed him. Her tongue demanded entrance, and Hades gave it. Persephone's hands tangled into his hair. Pulling hard, she climbed up his body, kissing harder and deeper, bruising him as she bit his lips and sucked his tongue. She was ruthless, but so was Hades.
Where are you burning?
He asked. Everywhere, she answered. She pushed his jacket off his shoulders, and Hades took over, shoving it aside as she unbuttoned his shirt, exposing his chest. She pulled away to admire him. He tried to reach for her, but she stopped him.
Let me pleasure you.
He didn't speak, but his eyes burned, and that was enough of an answer. She guided him to his back and kissed his lips, before working her way down the planes of his muscled chest, following the line of hair from his stomach, until it disappeared beneath his slacks, where his cock strained against the fabric. She unbuttoned them and wrapped her fingers around his warm velvet flesh, and as she stroked him, she bit down on her lip, ready to taste him. Hades growled.
Keep looking at me that way, darling. I won't let you have control for long.
She raised a challenging brow and then took him into her mouth. Hades hissed as she circled the head of his cock with her tongue and took him deeper into her mouth. He groaned when he hit the back of her throat, his fingers twisting tightly into her hair. He seemed to grow larger, filling her mouth tighter as she moved him in and out.
Fuck!
Hades' curse encouraged her, and she moved faster, using her hands and her tongue. He came with a roar, and his cum filled her mouth, salty and sweet. His smell filled her nose, a mixture of spice and chlorine. She took her time savoring him, licking every part of him clean, until he dragged her up his body and brought her lips to his, rolling so that she was beneath him.
Such a gift,
he said, inches from her mouth.
How shall I repay you?
Gifts don't require payment, Hades.
Another gift, then,
he offered, and took her mouth in a searing kiss. He laid her bare beneath the trees and worshipped her body until the sky was full of stars, glowing full and bright with Hades' magic.
Chapter 11. Unraveling.
Persephone draped herself over Hades' naked body and rested her head on his chest.
She reveled in the feel of him against her. It was like coming home after all those nights she'd spent alone. They'd just come from the baths after making love in the grove. Her body felt warm and limber, and her eyes were heavy with sleep. She should have succumbed, lulled by the soft circles Hades was tracing on her back and the smell of salt on his skin. Instead, she chose to speak. "I'll mentor Leuki," she said, peeking at him when the silence stretched too long, wondering what he was thinking.
"I'm not sure how I feel about this."
"Me either," she admitted, but she felt like it was the right thing to do. "And I need you to give her a place to stay and her job back. Please." Hades continued to trace shapes against her skin.
"Why do you wish to mentor her?"
Persephone shrugged. "Because I think I know how she feels." Hades raised a brow.
"Explain."
"She's been a tree for thousands of years. Suddenly she's normal again, and the whole world has changed. It's scary, and I know how that feels." Hades was quiet for a long moment, and then he said again, as if to make sure,
"You want to mentor my former lover?"
Persephone sighed loudly and rolled her eyes. "Don't make me regret this, Hades."
"I don't want you to, but are you sure?"
"It's weird, I admit, but she's a victim. I want to help her." It was a hard thing to say to him, given that he was the reason she'd been a poplar tree. Granted, what Leuki had done was wrong, but was it worth losing out on thousands of years? Hades touched her chin.
"You amaze me," he said.
She giggled. "I am not amazing. I wanted to punish her at first."
"But you didn't," he said. "There are no other gods like you."
"I haven't lived long enough to be jaded like the rest of you," she said. "Perhaps I'll end up like the others before long."
"Or perhaps you will change the rest of us."
They stared at one another, bodies pressed together, until Persephone sat up, straddling Hades. The god beneath her had one hand behind his head. He looked arrogant, and she supposed he had reason to be. He had made her come over and over, and he had been ruthless in his pursuit.
"Eager for more, my lady?"
he asked, growing harder and thicker under her. She smiled. That wasn't why she had sat up. She'd had something to say, and she wanted to say it now before she forgot. But at his question, she realized she was eager for more, eager to take control of his body, to use him as an instrument. "Actually, I'm afraid I must make a few demands," she said, and she slid onto his shaft, filling herself completely. She let out a breath, sore from their previous coupling. Hades' hands went to her thighs, squeezing.
"Yes,"
he said from between his teeth. "I don't want to be placed in a suite on the other side of the palace, ever," she said, rolling her hips, feeling him everywhere. "Not to get ready for balls. Not when you are angry with me. Not ever." She punctuated each of her statements by slamming into him. Hades' fingers dug into her skin.
"I thought you would want privacy," he said.
She paused in her movements and bent over him. His eyes burned into hers. "Fuck privacy. I needed you. Needed to know you still wanted me despite everything." He drew his arm around her neck and brought her lips to his. She started to move again when Hades rolled, taking control. Except that once she was beneath him, he didn't move. She glared at him and lifted her hips, but he remained still.
"I will always want you, and I would have welcomed you to my bed any night."
"I didn't know," she said. He pressed a thumb to her swollen lips.
"Now you do."
He gave her a bruising kiss, and they came together again, working through their anger and their pain, until all they felt
was their hearts beating together as one. Persephone rose hours later in search of Hecate. She found the goddess of witchcraft in her cabin bundling sage.
"Good evening, my sweet. You look well."
Persephone smiled. "I am well, Hecate, thank you."
"You are here to ask for a favor?"
Persephone twisted her fingers together. "How did you know?" Hecate smirked.
"I don't imagine you were eager to leave Hades' company. Something brought you to my doorstep, and it isn't training."
Persephone snorted and explained. "I need to speak to my mother, but under controlled circumstances."
"You wish to summon her so you can also dismiss her?"
Persephone nodded. "Can you help me?" Hecate wrapped the last of the sage. When she was finished, she turned toward Persephone, meeting her gaze.
"My dear, I would love nothing more than to help you stand up to your mother."
Persephone grinned, and they teleported to her room in the upper world. Hecate got to work, instructing Persephone in the art of summoning spells.
"First, we must cleanse this area,"
she said, burning sage and carrying the smoking bundle around the room. Once she was finished, Hecate used her magic to draw a triple circle on her floor.
"Conjuring the living is no different from conjuring the dead," Hecate explained. "In both cases, you are summoning the soul, so the spell is the same."
Hecate gave Persephone a piece of obsidian and a piece of quartz.
"Obsidian for protection," she said, "and quartz for power."
After that, she produced a black candle, which she placed in the center of the triple circle. She hovered over it, her eyes lifting to meet Persephone's.
"When I light this candle, the spell is complete. Your mother will hear the call."
"Are you sure she will come?" The goddess shrugged.
"There is a chance she may resist, but I doubt your mother will give up the chance to see you."
"You don't know how angry she was when we last spoke."
"You are still her daughter," Hecate said. "She will come."
Hecate bent, cupping her hand over the wick of the candle. Persephone saw the goddess's lips move, and when she pulled away, a black flame flickered.
"Shall I leave you now?"
Persephone nodded. "Yes, thank you, Hecate." She smiled.
"Just blow out the candle when you are ready for her to leave."
Persephone bit her lip. "You are sure she won't be able to stay? Or hurt me?"
"Only if she is invited," Hecate promised before vanishing.
Persephone was alone for only a few minutes when the smell of sage and burning wax was cut with the scent of wildflowers and a sharp chill. Strange. Demeter's magic usually felt warm like a pale spring sun. Persephone turned and found her mother standing in the shadow of her room. Demeter hadn't changed, except for looking far more severe than she remembered. She wore blue robes, and her gold hair lay straight, parted at the center, framing her beautiful and cold face. Her antlers were both elegant and dreadful. They filled space, making Persephone's room more cramped. She was perfection, and her presence sucked the air out of Persephone's lungs.
"Daughter,"
she said coldly. "Mother," Persephone acknowledged. The goddess of harvest studied Persephone, probably picking apart her appearance. Demeter hated her curly hair and freckles, and when given the chance, she'd cover them up with her glamour. Whatever she saw there didn't change her severe expression, and after a moment, her gaze swept the room.
"Am I too hopeful? Have you summoned me to beg my forgiveness?"
Persephone wanted to laugh. If anyone should beg forgiveness, it was Demeter. She was the one who had kept Persephone a prisoner most of her life, and even when she'd released her, it had been on a long leash. "No, I have summoned you to tell you to stop interfering with my life." Demeter's cold gaze returned to Persephone, her hazel eyes turning yellow in the candlelight.
Are you accusing me of something, daughter?
Persephone felt a little uneasy. It occurred to her that her mother might be responsible for more than Laoce's release from the poplar tree. What other plans did she have to force her away from Hades?
You released Hades' former lover from her prison, Persephone said.
Why would I bother with something so trivial?
Demeter sounded bored, but Persephone wasn't convinced. Good question, mother. Demeter turned from her daughter and began snooping around her room, inspecting, judging. She pulled open her nightstand drawers and opened anything with a lid, wrinkling her nose.
This place smells like Hades, she said.
And then she straightened, eyes narrowing upon Persephone.
You smell like him.
Persephone crossed her arms over her chest and glared at her mother.
I hope you're using protection, Demeter said. That's all you need, to be tied to the god of the dead for the rest of your life.
That's a given, Persephone said. You're the only one who seems to think it isn't.
You don't know Hades, she said. You're just now learning that for yourself. I know it bothers you. You fear what you don't know.
Persephone hated her mother for being right. I could say the same about you, mother. What don't I know about you? What evils do you hide under your perfect facade?
Do not make this about me. You jumped into his arms as soon as he said he loved you. It is embarrassing that your judgment extends to his skin. I raised you better.
You didn't raise me at all.
I imprisoned you, Demeter interrupted, rolling her eyes. Gods, you are a broken record. I gave you everything. A home, friends, love. It wasn't enough for you.
It wasn't enough, she snapped. And it would have never been enough. Do you really think you could challenge fate and win? You criticize other gods for their arrogance, yet you are the worst. Demeter smiled coldly.
The fates may have given you what you wanted, a taste of freedom, a taste of forbidden love. But do not mistake their offer with kindness. The fates punish, even gods.
They punished you, Persephone said, not me. Demeter offered a small smile.
That remains to be seen, my flower. Do you know the fates named you? Persephone. I didn't understand then how my precious, sweet flower could be given such a name. Destroyer. But that is what you are. A destroyer of dreams, of happiness, of lives.
Persephone's eyes glazed with tears as her mother spoke.
Oh, yes, my love. Enjoy what fate has offered you, because they have woven your destiny, and you are a disgrace.
Persephone kicked the candle, spilling wax and extinguishing the flame. Her mother's form vanished, yet her scent lingered, choking her. She fell to her knees, breathing hard, when her door opened. Lexa, Sybil, and Laoce were gathered there.
Persephone, are you okay?
Lexa rushed to her side. Sybil picked up the candle, looking perplexed. Laoce was the only one who seemed to know what was going on.
Summoning spell?
She asked. Persephone met the woman's gaze, and through her tears she said, We need to talk. Lexa helped Persephone to her feet, and Sybil cleaned the wax up from the floor. Once they were finished, Persephone closed the door to her room. Laoce sat on the edge of her bed, eyes wide, twisting her fingers together in her lap. She probably thought Persephone was going to kick her out. I've asked Hades to give you an apartment and your job back, she said. Laoce's breath caught in her throat.
Thank you, Persephone.
I've also agreed to help you learn this world, she said. There is one more thing you should know. My mother is Demeter, goddess of harvest. Persephone didn't think Laoce's eyes could get any bigger.
You're a goddess?
Persephone nodded once. It's important you keep my secret, Laoce. Do you understand?
Of course, but why tell me?
because I need you to be honest with me. Who freed you from the poplar tree?
I swear I don't know, Laoki said. Her pale brows were drawn together over her pretty ice-blue eyes. I just remember waking up alone.
She shivered, rubbing her arms, as if the memory scared her. Persephone studied the nymph for a moment, and then sighed. I believe you.
Still, that didn't mean Demeter wasn't responsible.
Will you tell me if my mother contacts you? Laoki nodded, and then swallowed. When she spoke, her voice trembled.
Persephone, what if she was the one to free me? Will she come for me? What if she turns me back into a tree?
Persephone hadn't thought of that, but her answer was immediate. If she does, I'll find you.
She could burn me to a crisp, Laoki said, and then offered a humorless laugh. It's strange, the things you fear when you're a tree.
Persephone frowned. The sad part was, she knew her mother was capable of that kind of malice. The goddess placed a hand on the nymph's arm. I'll do my best to protect you, Laoki. I promise. The woman smiled.
You're really not like the rest of them, Persephone.
Upon returning to work, Persephone was more prepared for the crowd outside the Acropolis than she had ever been. She'd decided, rather than entering the building with her head down, she would face them head on, maybe even answer a few of the questions. It wasn't exactly her idea of freedom, but it was a way to take control over the situation, and it was better than feeling trapped. Thank you, Antony, Persephone said when he opened her door. See you after work?
Yes, my lady.
She smiled at him and started down the aisle. Good morning, she chimed as she passed the gathering.
Persephone! Persephone! Can I get an autograph?
She stopped, meeting the gaze of a mortal man. He held out a marker and a booklet. She took it and signed her name, his eyes lighting up.
Thank you, he stuttered out. Persephone, how long have you and Hades been together? Another person asked.
Not long, she replied. What made you fall in love with him? Someone yelled. Well, he is charming, she said with a small laugh. The walk continued like that, answering questions, signing articles and pictures, and taking photos with fans. She was almost to the doors when something shattered on the ground behind her. She turned to see a bottle in pieces at her feet. Security rushed the crowd, while another officer took her by the arm and ushered her inside.
Are you all right, Miss Rossi?
The officer, an older man with a buzz cut and mustache, asked. Persephone blinked up at him. She hadn't had time to process what had just happened. Someone tried to hurt her, she realized. She took a deep breath and let it out slow, then nodded. Yes. The officer didn't look so certain, frowning down at her. Persephone's eyes fell to his gold nameplate, and she smiled. Thank you, Officer Woods. The guard smirked, and his face reddened.
It was nothing.
She broke free of the officer and headed for the elevators in a daze. Her thoughts turned to Hades' words.
It is only a matter of time before someone with a vendetta against me tries to harm you.
How would the god react once he found out about this incident? When she made it to her floor, Helen was waiting, a concerned look on her face.
Oh, my gods, Persephone. Are you okay? I heard what happened.
How? Persephone asked. She'd literally just left the first floor.
It's on the news, she said. There was a crew filming live as you arrived. They caught everything on camera.
Persephone groaned. So much for keeping this from Hades. Did they show the person who threw the bottle?
Yes, his face is plastered all over the news.
Oh, no. Persephone hurried to her desk. She needed to get a hold of Hades before he acted. She knew the god of the dead would seek his own revenge against the mortal who tried to hurt her. And as much as she wanted him to face some sort of punishment for his rash actions, torture in Tartarus seemed a bit extreme. The only person she could think to call was Ilias. The satyr had taken over managing Hades' schedule in Minthes absence. The phone rang once before he answered. "Ilias, where is Hades?"
"Indisposed, my lady," he answered, pausing a moment before asking, "Are you well?"
"Ilias, I'm fine. Tell Hades not to hurt the mortal." She was interrupted when another call came through on her phone. She looked at the screen and saw Alexa was calling. She'd probably seen the news and wanted to make sure she was okay. She sighed. "Ilias, let me call you back. Tell Hades not to hurt that mortal." Persephone hung up on the satyr and answered Lexa's call. "Yes, Lex, I'm fine." Except it wasn't Lexa on the other end.
"Persephone, it's Jason."
The hysteria in his voice made her heart race. "Jason, why?
You need to come to the hospital now."
"Okay, okay, what happened?"
"It's Lexa. They aren't sure she'll make it."
Persephone felt like she'd just had the air sucked from her lungs. Her heart had never felt like this before. Irregular and sick, poisoned by a terror so acute she thought it might have stopped. "Lexa's in the hospital. They aren't sure she'll make it." Suddenly, she wondered if this was the start of Apollo's revenge. Part 2. The descent into hell is easy. Virgil, the Aeneid. Chapter 12. The Descent into Hell. Persephone stayed calm and collected, despite the anxiety eating away at the bottom of her stomach. Jason's voice echoed in her head. The words he'd spoken felt distant and untrue.
"Lex has been in an accident. They aren't sure she will make it."
He had to be mistaken. There was no way their Lexa, her Lexa, was fighting for her life.
"Persephone,"
Jason's voice shook as he said her name, rooting her in the reality of what he'd just told her. She shook her head and said into the receiver, "That can't be true. I just saw her this morning." His voice sounded strangled, as if someone were pushing on his throat, stealing his air.
"It happened in front of the Alexandria Tower. She was on her way to work. They said she was crossing the street and someone hit her."
She felt unsteady. Her body shook uncontrollably. "I'll be there as soon as possible." She was out of her chair before she hung up the phone, racing from the Acropolis. Asclepius Community Hospital was a modern building made of mirrored glass, blending with the azure sky and dense white clouds. Inside, the hospital looked more like a hotel than a medical facility. It was bright, clean, and beautiful, but nothing could hide the smell. It was what Persephone always thought of as the smell of sickness. It was the tang of chemicals, the metallic scent of stale water, and the bitter odor of latex. It filled her head and made her dizzy. She found Jason on the second floor in the waiting room. He sat in one of the stiff wooden chairs, leaning forward with his head cradled in his hands, his face shielded by his hair. "Jason," she said his name as she approached. He looked up, eyes wide. Persephone understood his expression because she shared it. They were shocked, helpless, confused.
"Persephone."
Jason stood and embraced her. She held him as tight as she could, like she thought he might disappear too. "Is she okay?" It seemed like a ridiculous question given his earlier report, but Lexa wasn't willing to imagine a world without Lexa, so she asked anyway. He pulled away, face drawn.
"She's in surgery. That's all they'll tell me. Her parents are on their way. We'll know more then."
"How did this happen?"
"She was crossing the street. The driver claims he didn't see her. Guess he didn't see that fucking red light either. He was probably texting."
He sat down then, as if he could no longer stand under the weight of what happened to Lexa. And Persephone joined him. She wasn't sure what to say because she couldn't think straight. It was like her mind couldn't decide how to assess the situation. Part of her wanted to prepare herself for the worst. "If she dies, then it will be your fault. You'll have manifested it," she scolded herself quickly. "She can't die. She won't. She's too young. She has too much to live for." Except that Persephone knew death personally. It did not discriminate. and anyone could be prey. It all depended on a thread, and sometimes a gamble.
What if we lose her? What will we do?
Jason's question stole Persephone's breath, and she looked at him. He leaned forward in his chair again, like he might get sick. Instead, he scrubbed his face with his hands. She thought he might be trying to keep his tears at bay, and she could see his eyes were growing red, and his face was splotchy and pink. She reached for his hand. It was clammy and cold, and hers were shaking. We won't lose her. Her voice was fierce, and as she spoke, she understood all those desperate pleas mortals made to Hades. She was making one now. Don't take her from me. I will give you anything. She closed her eyes against her thoughts and spoke again, more uncertain than she'd ever been. We won't. We can't. Torturous hours ticked by with no updates. Persephone stepped outside to call Sybil and let her know what happened. The Oracle made it to the hospital within 30 minutes. Between the three of them, they'd walked the entire hospital and been to the cafeteria close to 10 times for coffee and water. It was about the only thing any of them could stomach. When Lex's parents arrived, Jason hurried outside to meet them and show them the way. During his absence, Persephone turned to Sybil. Have your powers returned? She asked. Yes, the Oracle whispered, giving Persephone a knowing look. They still hadn't had a chance to talk about Persephone's agreement with Apollo. Persephone only had one question for the Oracle. Do you know if she will live? I do not know. The gods are merciful that way. I do not carry the burden of knowing my friends' fates. Persephone frowned. Do you think Apollo had something to do with this? Isn't that what Sybil had said? That Apollo would punish by hurting those closest to her? Sybil shook her head. No, Persephone. I think this is exactly what it looks like. A mortal accident. Persephone wasn't sure why, but that wasn't what she wanted to hear. Then Sybil asked, Maybe you can ask Hades if she will survive. The goddess swallowed thickly. She could, but what if the answer was no? She tried to imagine going to the underworld every day and finding Lexa walking the streets of Asphodel, arm in arm with Yuri. She couldn't do it. She couldn't explain why it was such a terrifying thought, either. It was just that if Lexa was in the underworld, it meant that she was dead. It meant that she wasn't in the upper world anymore, that her existence had ceased, and Persephone couldn't stomach that. When Lexa's parents, Eliska and Adam, arrived, they were given more information on the status of her injuries. The doctor wore a white lab coat and kept his hands in his pockets as he spoke. He was older. His eyelids shielded his drooping eyes. His nose was wide, his lips thin, and formed a permanent frown. He sounded tired, but it was just his voice, a low, raspy baritone.
She has two broken legs and a broken elbow, lacerations to her kidneys, bruised lungs, and blood on her brain.
Hearing the trauma Lexa's body had sustained brought Persephone to tears. He continued,
She is in critical condition and in a coma. We have her on a ventilator.
What does critical condition mean? Jason asked.
It means that her vitals are unstable and abnormal,
the doctor answered.
The next 24 to 48 hours will be very important for Lex's recovery.
The words broke down Persephone's hope. Lex's parents were let in to see her first. Persephone, Sybil, and Jason waited.
She'll fight. She'll pull through,
Jason said aloud, as if he was trying to convince them and himself. It was Eliska who returned to get them and show them to Lexa's room. As they followed her, Persephone couldn't stop staring. Lexa looked a lot like her mother. They had the same thick black hair and blue eyes, and sometimes the same expressions. When Persephone entered, her gaze went straight to Lexa. It was hard to describe how she felt seeing her best friend under all that equipment. It was a little like having an out-of-body experience. Lexa was still as stone, and barely visible under layers of tubes and cords running into her like the threads of fate. They bound her in place, and right now they bound her to life. A thick white cloth lay across her forehead, and a neck brace propped her chin up high. Her ventilator sounded like a constant exhale, and the heart monitor pulsed a steady beat. These were things that even this room, made up with colorful walls, monochrome flooring, and